How are we investing in God's kingdom? And it's an important question, especially in the days we're living in. From Exodus 23, verses 2 through 3, we read, "You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice. And do not slant your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor." As I was reading the scriptures this week, I couldn't help but be affected by how relevant and how timely the scriptures are in our lives. Look at our nation today, and what do we see? We see crowds wanting to do what is wrong. And obviously the scripture, all the way back in Moses' day, as he gave it to Moses, was telling them, don't do what the crowd is leading you to do. We also know in the scriptures, James is one place, but it is also called out in the Old Testament, you don't favor a person because they're rich. Justice is justice. The reason that justice is shown in our United States of America as being blind is because it's supposed to be blind. It's not to take into consideration those things. And yet today, many aren't asking for justice, but they're asking for favoritism. And people could get the real help they need. I would rather teach a person how to fish than simply give them a fish for one meal. But if I can teach them how to fish, they can feed themselves for the rest of their lives. I would rather, with that, teach a person about the salvation of Jesus Christ and see that they have an eternal hope forever than just a hope for a meal or two. But we are benevolent. We are a benevolent society, and that is good. But now we're seeing things, it seems, spin out of control, and people are demanding their pound of flesh, if you will, for all sundry reasons. The leaders in our nation, and I'm talking all of our leaders, typically there are considered to be 250 founding fathers. Now you only hear today about a very few of them, the ones who were the least religious. But we are the oldest republic in the world. We are the oldest government that has served under one document that is in existence today. Many have had several. God's providence has certainly been shown and been upon this nation. As I mentioned, huge crowds are protesting now, not because of injustice, but because of perceived injustice. They want a slanted justice. Refer to the scripture above. When you call to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice. They are wanting something that is slanted. It says, and do not slant your testimony. They want it that way. Not because it agrees with our law, not because it agrees with our Constitution, but because it agrees with their mindset. Many are deceived, and there are many that are sinful. Matthew 24, 11 through 14, we read this chapter this week. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. That's a very interesting verse of scripture. Many today could be considered false prophets. They herald evil. That's what they are all about. They are heralding the evil as if it were good. The word of God didn't change. Just human perspective and opinion started to change. And that's what I call departing from the word of God. Because if you read the Word of God, you know that these things are wrong. They're stated as being wrong. They always have been stated as being wrong. And they're saying, we are right, we have the moral high ground. And I want to ask, by what authority? They have no moral authority whatsoever, except that which they have determined themselves and our hierarchy, whether it be in colleges or whether it be in the courts, has said, well, now we, the intellectual elite, have decided that this is okay. Yeah. No. Show me something higher than yourself that says it's okay. I can take you to the Word of God and show you that it's not okay.
Right.
Now, why are you saying that it is okay? And any little child knows if something is taken away from somebody else who owned that, that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them why they did it, all they'll say is because I wanted to.
Yep.
I wanted it. Okay? That is sin. Pure and simple. That is the sin nature coming out in all of us. All right? In a child, we accept it because they don't know any better yet. They're innocent. Yet the gospel of Christ will be shared throughout the world. All right, getting back to Matthew 24, 11 through 14, and many false prophets will appear. We've seen that. Sin will be rampant. We've seen that. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Oh, I pray that we see that.
Amen.
He also says the love of many will grow cold. There doesn't seem to be any grace or mercy out there. And you know what? If we would just look to the Word of God, we don't have to take it to the court of law. Our courts originally were all based, our law system was all based on the Word of God. That's where it came from. Why don't we just return to it?
Yeah.
What about us today? We were once people of the Word of God. We need to return to being people of the Word of God. We need to elect leaders who are concerned about what the Word of God says. The gospel will be shared throughout the world. We've never had a time when that was really possible, but it is now. The gospel can be shared throughout the world. So we have these crazy, idiotic things going on, and yet, one thing great can happen. The gospel can be shared throughout the world. Oh, through technology, radio, Facebook. Okay, we're trying, and what are we trying to do? We're trying to get the gospel out. The Word of God. We're trying to place the Word of God where our culture will be able to see it. The beautiful thing is, this is happening all around the world. That ministries are being beamed in, not beam me up, Scotty, but beam out the message, Dave. Okay, we're beaming out the message of the Word of God, and it's happening all around the world today. So people can hear the truth. All nations will hear, and none will be with an excuse. None will have an excuse any longer. They will have heard the truth of the Word of God. They can accept it or they can reject it. So a sign in our culture, yes. Does God get angry at sin? Part of the sign of the end times is our very culture. It's the way that it is. But look at this scripture from Romans, verse 1, verses 18 through 21. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I stated our nation, when it was founded, the founding fathers basically would read through all of Scripture every year. They found amazing things in there, not only that helped their spiritual life, but helped their civic life, that helped their business life, that helped them do new things. There was a man in the 1880s that his children were reading to him the scriptures, and he said, wait a minute, stop. And it talked about the paths of the seas. And he had grown up on the oceans. And he owned merchant ships and had been injured and could no longer go out. And so he was listening to the scripture, and he said, paths of the seas. So he mapped all the paths of the seas. And it became a very well-read book by seamen, because if they would take one of those paths, for instance, between Europe and the United States, they could cut 3 days off their journey. Say, oh yeah, if I go 70 miles further north, I'll get in that path of the sea, and I'll get to the United States 3 days quicker. All right? Pretty profitable information. And he mapped it all over. Back in the 1880s, how did he do it? He didn't have GPS. He didn't have satellites. But God's word inspired him to do so. What have we done since? Our nation has suppressed the truth. Because we have suppressed the word of God in our schools. We have suppressed the word of God in government. We are taking the very thing that made us prosperous. We were people of the book at one time, and we grew and we prospered as a nation. And now we're trying to displace it. Well, praise God, there's still enough of it in us that we are still the greatest nation on earth. But we're working hard at changing that. Heaven help us. It goes on and says, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Well, in our nation in particular, it was extremely obvious to us. The average American has 4 Bibles. It doesn't mean they ever open them, but they have them. What would happen if we would open the Word of God? For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. There is no excuse. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas. That's where those things came from. When did we? Well, when we stopped reading the Word, then we started thinking up foolish ideas. Like, this is okay. In fact, they think they have the moral high ground because they look at it as some type of civil right. But it's not. It's an abomination before God. And it's an abomination before nature.
Amen.
Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Translation, their minds became reprobate. Reprobate culture, reprobate minds. That's what we're facing today. Where is God's word gone? In the U.S., the word of God is an afterthought. I've often wondered, and David Barton cleared it up for me Thursday night. I knew that by reading the Word of God through as a Christian, we were in the extreme minority. I found out how much of a minority we are in. Of the Christian people, those who call themselves Christians in the United States of America today, how many have read through all of the Word of God? A whopping amazing 3%. 3%! 97% of Christians, those who call themselves Christians, have not read the Word of God. How do they know if they're a Christian or not? They're not reading the Word that God gave us to direct us in our lives, to show us how to live our lives, to show us how to prosper. Is it no wonder then that only 10% of Christians have a biblical worldview? No, because they're paying attention to everything else but the Bible. That's why we emphasize reading the Word of God. These quotes were from David Barton, or these statistics. You must not worship the gods of these nations, back to the time of Moses, as God gave him the Word of God. Exodus 23 verses 24 through 26. You must not worship the gods of these nations or serve them in any way or imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them and smash their sacred pillars. When this nation was founded, that's what we were doing. We were teaching the Word of God to everybody. We didn't have all the riches that we have today, and we didn't have a federal bureaucracy telling us what to teach our children. So locally, it was being determined. And you know what they determined to teach the kids? The Word of God. It was a textbook in the schools. In fact, there was a decision in the late 1800s by our Supreme Court that no public school could receive funding unless it taught the Word of God. You must serve only the Lord your God. Listen to this. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. God is saying, I will bless you. I will give you all the things that you need. I'll give you food and water that you need. I won't let you get sick. He also, in another place, told them their clothes would not wear out, and they didn't. And then he also says this, there will be no miscarriages or infertility in your life. Wait a second, I got to get this right. We have people protesting for the right to kill babies in the womb. And yet God is saying, here's what I will give you and assure that you don't have miscarriages and infertility. And he says, I'll give you long, full lives. What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. We don't read the Word of God anymore. We don't have preachers in the pulpit that preach the whole Word of God anymore. Too many churches have pet scriptures, and that's all they go to. They've bought into the lie. They want to just go along with the world. They think his blessings for his anger. What are we doing? Are we watching and working? Now, it's something interesting as I was going through the readings this week. Matthew 25, okay? It's still in the prophecy, the latter-day prophecy material that Christ has been stating to the disciples. He continues to go on and state latter-day parables to the disciples so they will understand what the kingdom of God will be like. And he's explaining latter-day prophecy to them through parables, saying, this is what you should be doing. So here you have this verse. So you too, disciples, must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. And then he shares this parable, verse 14 of Matthew 25. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Take what you have, put it to work, and God will bless it. He then left on his trip. Well, Christ did this, as I said, after discussing with his disciples latter-day prophecy. And then he shared these parables in the same context. Christ, if you didn't get it a second ago, acknowledged that we have different abilities, that we have different talents. Amen. The Lord expects us to invest whatever time, talent, and treasure he has given us. And he will bless that effort. But we've got to put forth the effort, not just demand something from someone else. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used their money. Matthew 25:19. Well, Christ expects whatever he has given to us to be invested in the building of his kingdom. Whatever he has given you or me, he expects us to use it for the further building of his kingdom. In the parable, the master has praise for both servants who invested wisely and doubled their or his treasure. Because if you read that parable, you will understand they were given the treasure by the master. One was given 5 bags, one was given 2, and one was given 1. The one who was given 5 doubled it. And he came back when the master asked him for an account of it. He says, here, master, I have 10. When the master asked the one who had been given 2, he said, here, master, I have 4. And you know what he said to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in very little. I will give you very much. He said the same to both people, the one that had 5 and the one that had 2. But what did the one do? The one buried what they'd been given. One servant buried his treasure and was deemed worthless by the master. The servant who had the most was given even more. So that 1 bag, guess who it went to? Went to the guy that had 10. Because he had proved that his stewardship could be trusted. Because he invested what he was given and it multiplied. Whatever we have been given, we must invest it. Do not guard or protect your treasure, i.e. bury it. It does nobody any good for us to bury the gifts, talents, and treasure that God has given to us. What he expects us to do from this latter day parable is invest it. Invest it in the kingdom so the kingdom will grow. Invest your treasure for the master wisely. Steward what you've been given. Don't guard it. Steward it. Put it to work. The days are short. Let's be about his business. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the bottom line. Matthew 25, verses 28 through 30. Then he ordered, this is the master speaking, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. Am I naive and think that everybody who is rich has done it honorably? Of course not.
No.
But we are Christian people. We should act like Christian people. We should build this nation to become a greater Christian nation. We should build this nation once again so we can honestly say it is a Christian nation. Now, we need to see the reality that if we want to live in a Christian nation, we better help there be more Christians. The only way that's going to happen is if we invest our time, our talent, and our treasure in seeing that more and more people hear the word of God, see the love of Christ through the way that we live, and then can make a honest decision as to whether they want to receive Christ as Lord and Savior or not. But if they never hear about it, there's no way they're going to have that decision to make. But the scripture told me that even in those bad days, Christ said the gospel would go forward and it would be preached throughout all the world. And then he would return. I believe we're in those days. I want to be part of the people that are out there preaching the word of God every place we can put it. Until Christ's return, and then there's a 1,000-year reign that he's going to have, and he's going to straighten everything out, and it's going to be wonderful on earth. But even after that, because it's still fallen, he destroys it. And he creates a new heaven and a new earth for all of those who call him Lord. I'm going to be in that group. I hope you are too. I hope you want to be. And the neat thing is, I want to take as many people with me as I can. What about you? That's what we need to be about. That's what we need to be doing. And we're trying. We're trying to the best of our ability. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, right there it is. Those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Sometimes I think part of their mental stability, their ability to think logically, is also being taken away. That's why evil is being called good. And fortunately, if you read the Word of God, you can still discern what good is. And it's not what they're asking for. Now throw this useless servant, this isn't me saying this, this is the Word of God saying. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what God thinks of those who turn their back on him and who he allows to have a reprobate mind, who do nothing with the talents they have been given. They will. That's the eventual turn. If you do not accept the Lord as Savior, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then this is the end that you can expect. It's not one that I want to see anybody have. I like people. I really do. But the Word of God tells me if you do not accept the Lord, if you do not accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and if you do not take actions that help in his kingdom, your reward for one will be smaller than it could be, even if you get in by the skin of your teeth. And speaking of teeth, those who don't get in, they're going to face weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? Isaiah's got a great scripture. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God, there is no other. And guess what? We have the opportunity to be part of that group that makes sure that the gospel, the word of God, goes forth to all nations.